This is CliffCentral.com.
And we are live on the air. It is between 3 and 4 on this lovely Monday afternoon. Welcome to CliffCentral.com. And of course, welcome to Inspired Youth. Inspired Youth is a platform owned by Pride Factor, which is a life skills academy dedicated to motivating, guiding, and mentoring young adults on how to lead a successful and fulfilling life. Each week we get you a range of guests ranging from our country's top aspirational role models, celebrities, sports stars, entertainment and business leaders, of who are all passionate about what it is that they do. And in the studio today we have a fantastic guest coming up to showcase an incredible campaign coming up later on in the year, where we're going to be talking to Peter Dunn, who is going to be doing the 6 Million Steps campaign, all in association and to raise funds and awareness for CHOC. So we'll be getting onto that in just a second.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, so ladies and gentlemen, we are live on air, and of course it is in time for Inspired Youth, where we get individuals that are doing fantastic and phenomenal things around South Africa. And we try and highlight and profile them and obviously create as much awareness as possible. Now, joining me in the studio today is a man that is doing something, well, beyond and above all of everything that I've just aforementioned, as well as it's not going to be in South Africa. Peter Dunn, welcome to the show.
Dean, thanks for having me.
All right. And joining you on the show today is Zelda. Hi, from CHOC.
Hi, thank you so much for
having me. It's an absolute pleasure. Okay, so I'm going to cut straight to the point here, because this is incredible and we're going to be talking about it the whole show, and I know everyone else is going to be talking about it after this, but Peter has decided in all his craziness that he's going to go on a lifelong mission that he has been setting up for a very long time, and walk 6 million steps. That is over 4,000 kilometers. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, because I have got it wrong in the past, you're walking from Mexico to Canada.
That's it. Not Alaska. Mexico to Canada.
That's right. Not Alaska. Alaska's not involved. Mexico to Canada. And we are raising funds, awareness, and going through a whole bunch of shoes and deep heat over a 4 or 5 month journey, correct?
Should take about 5 months. Should take about five months. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the campaign is called the 6 Million Steps campaign, and I've kind of highlighted there just ever so slightly. But Peter, please take us through what the concept is. We'll unpack it more in more detail later on. But what exactly are you up to next month?
Cool. Well, the whole journey starts. I'm leaving for the States now on the 25th of March to start the walk on the 10th of April. And as you said, it'll take about 5 months for me to do the 4,000 odd Ks. Mm-hmm. So in the States, everything's in miles. So it's 2,650 miles to be dead accurate. But yeah, it's been something that I wanted to do for a very, very long time. A mate of mine years ago spoke about it, and it was just put to bed. And very recently it came up again. And having gone through a few things and seen a few things and knowing a few families that have gone through a few things, I thought that it would be a nice thing to do. It'll be a nice time to get off my butt, get busy, and sort of attach myself to a really, really cool organization like CHOC and try and raise awareness for children's cancer.
Okay, so let me get through this. All right, so sorry, because this is something of a phenomenal status. So this is something just to get off your butt, as you say, to just walk through, and I quote, 60 major mountain passes.
Yeah.
19 canyons, 57 kilometer stretch with no water. What on earth? 5 pairs of shoes, 6 million steps, and an endless potential to inspire. The question that comes after reading that is, why are you doing this? What is wrong with you? What is right with you? Why are you doing what are you doing?
Look, I'm still trying to answer that question myself, I guess. But I reckon I'll find out on the walk. There's 5 months to figure that out. Dean, as I said, you know, it's just a lot of people a lot of times don't get the opportunity that I've got now. I'm at a time in my life where things have come to a screeching halt. And next steps are going to be taken, so I can either jump straight into that or take a breather after the last 10 years and really do something different. And something like this is, as you just said, it's not a rarity. People do it. Yeah. But I don't know of many people. In fact, I don't know of anybody that's done this before, other than two people that I've met quite recently. They finished it last year. It's out of the blue. It's out of the norm. And as I said, you know, 5 months gives us a lot of time to raise a lot of money, I hope. And it gives us, I suppose, a good platform, or it gives CHOC a good platform to do what they've been doing and what they're trying to do for over the last, what is it, more than nearly two decades, yeah. 17 years, isn't it?
Well, it will be 40 years, actually.
40?
Next year. Yes.
Yeah, Zelda, goodness. If you would. Okay, so we've got Zelda Jacobs in here also, who is the communication manager for CHOC. Zelda, I didn't say welcome properly earlier on, so welcome properly.
Thank you, thank you.
Tell us, okay, so Pete's obviously offered his feet, fitness,
platform,
sanity, whatever it is that you want to say, to do all of this, obviously, towards beating childhood cancers, okay? Yes. So CHOC's involvement and CHOC's platform behind this, how do you guys fit in and what's the whole process for you?
Peter actually approached us to do this for CHOC, and I must say we're very delighted and very happy to have him, and he certainly opened quite a lot of doors for us, especially in creating awareness about CHOC, and yeah, we're very stoked and proud of him before it even actually begins, you know, before we've even started. And it's mainly to sort of create awareness about what we do, and then also for people to sort of give towards the cause, and the funds that will be raised will be going towards CHOC programs. So it is certainly something that's very exciting for us.
Fantastic. So let's break that down a little bit. What exactly are CHOC's programs?
All right. So we are a national non-profit organization, and we offer countrywide support to children with cancer as well as their families. Mm-hmm. Our programs include emotional support, where we employ social workers that are based at the pediatric oncology units, and they are there to basically walk the journey with the children as well as the families, from the beginning right to the end of treatment, whether it be bereavement or success of the treatment. And then we also have comprehensive emotional support through the various support groups, such as your survivors, parents supporting parents, and volunteers that assist at the wards, you know, with the children. Because with childhood cancer, you're looking at anything 8 months to about 3 years of treatment. So you can imagine with a child that hasn't been going to school for that long, they would sort of need somebody there to be reading to them, to be playing with them. So we have volunteers that would go in and do that sort of thing. Then we also have accommodation facilities that's close to the pediatric oncology units. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, because childhood cancer, the child is being treated, they get admitted to the hospital, but obviously not the parents. Yeah. So we then have accommodation facilities close to the treatment centers for the parents, where they can stay while the child is admitted. And then there's also a period where the child would then be going through treatment as a day patient, where they'd be going in and out of the clinic or the hospital. And that's when then the child would be making use of the accommodation facility. Then we also offer them transport, which we do in two ways. We have vehicles that transport them from the house to the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And then we also offer transport grants for those families that stay within the town that has the pediatric oncology unit, but would need, you know, transport to get there. For instance, a family that's staying in Midrand, you know, to get to Soweto for them for like a week, it is quite expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And also because we work very closely with the state hospitals. So you'd find that a lot of the people that are making use of those facilities come from previously disadvantaged families.
Yep.
So they don't necessarily have the funds, you know, to be making that kind of commitment. So before that was offered, we actually found that a lot of the families were abandoning the treatment because of this. And so that's when we saw the need, and then we created that support.
So you're kind of filling the gaps as they present themselves.
Yes, certainly.
This is South Africa. We have our issues. I mean, let's not take away from that. And obviously transport and things like that certainly is one, and the previously disadvantaged and all that kind of stuff. So that's very, very interesting, without a doubt. Now tell me, CHOC, how long have you guys been around for?
We've been around since 1979.
Yeah, so that is why when I actually heard about this, I think CHOC is kind of like a familiar name. A lot of us out there obviously see the name and recognize what it is that you do. And I think it's campaigns like this that highlight that and elevate it to the next level. Is that right?
Yes, certainly. Yes, they do.
Okay, so then question for you, Pete. Why chalk?
Why chalk? Sorry, I was thinking about the cows, not chalk.
Oh.
that's where I got the numbers wrong. Why chalk? Dean, you know what? I lost my mom to cancer, or we lost my mom to cancer whenever it was 10 years ago. 24th of March, it'll be 10 years exactly. She obviously wasn't a child, but very, very good friends of mine. They lost their little boy to cancer as well, and I've lost other family members. And so cancer's always been sort of, prolific is the wrong word. It's always been there, you know, and sort of it's done its thing in our family. People that are adults or old enough, or you know, they've lived a bit, they've gone through, they've done things, they've experienced a little bit of life. These little guys, they get robbed really, really young. I mean, from infants, from babies to 1-year-olds, 2 or 3-year-olds, up to teenagers, 13, 14, they can get diagnosed. And those guys really haven't had a chance and haven't had the chances that we do. I suppose it's just, it is close to home. People always see these, you know, shave-a-thons and all these things that are out there to raise money for cancer. But you get a lot of what they call these armchair bandits, these guys that just sit and talk about it and do absolutely nothing about it.
Yes.
And I'd love to be able to pass comment and really be able to talk about something like this and know that I've done something about it.
Yeah.
So, I think that's... that's as close to home as it can get. I mean, it can't get closer than your mom, I suppose, unless it's you, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that was the idea behind it.
Right. Okay. So then the idea to walk across the whole of the USA, that was just obviously the next step, right? I mean, that just kind of thought like, I'll do something for cancer and I'll do something for the kids and I like chalk, so I'm going to walk across an entire country. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make light of this, but this is ridiculous, mate.
I might not do it if you carry on like this. That makes it sound a little bit bigger than what it is.
Retracting the last statement there. Okay, so without a doubt. So guys, if you're listening out there and you want to get involved, please do tweet at us. Please just use the hashtag InspiredYouthSA. Love to answer any of your questions. We've got Zelda Jacobs in here from Chalk. And of course, Peter Dunn, the man doing the 6 million step campaign. We're trying to create some awareness. So do tweet at us at InspiredYouthSA, hashtag InspiredYouthSA. And obviously always throw it at CliffCentral.com so that we can try and retweet that. So we can get a little bit more following, a little bit more awareness out there. So Pete, in your journey, and I love some of your statistics that you've got here, how have you worked out these things that you've got written here? Your 150 days, 7 national parks, 60 mountain passes. Where are you starting exactly?
Okay, so...
Walk us through your walk.
Firstly, I just wanted to say plagiarism is a real thing.
It exists.
Yeah. So all those stats come from their website, and the 150 days is the sort of time that I've tried to... Well, I've allocated myself to complete it. And coming from South Africa, we run on what they call a B2 visa, so we've only got 6 months. And I want to spend about 2 weeks in America beforehand just preparing and finalizing all the goods and food and packing food that I'm going to send to myself along the trail and all of that. So, that's where those numbers came from. But
if it gets to the 5.5 month mark, you're going to pick up the pace? You're going to start jogging? Well, listen,
it depends where I am on
that. What are you going to do with this B2 visa, man? This is an issue.
Well, no, I can't say what I want to say here. If it runs out, I'll just run right, go into the country, further into the country.
Carry on.
You asked where it starts.
Yes.
So, it starts on the Mexican border in Southern California at a place called Campo. Campo is where the trailhead begins, or everyone picks up the trailhead. And then they crush it north for, again, it could take people 6 months, it could take them 5, it could take them 4. I mean, some guys have done this in 3.5 months, but those dudes they're on another level. So start Southern California at Campo and then mission up through Southern California, Central California, Northern California, go through Oregon State, up through Washington State, and then cross the Canadian border into a little place called Manning Park and finish off there, which is 2,653 miles, I think it is. It's a daunting thing. It's a big thing to try and do, but... like I said, a lot of people do a lot of talking and all of that, and I've certainly done my fair share. So now, you want to try and put your money where your mouth is and do something about it.
Now, obviously, putting your money where your mouth is, your endeavor here is to raise, and I see you haven't really set a goal as yet, but you're trying to raise as much awareness for CHOC, for childhood cancer. Mm. And obviously, I mean, let's get to the crux of the matter. We want to raise some money, don't we?
100%.
Okay. What, do you have a goal, or are we just going to try and ride this out as best as we can?
Look, there's, as I say, many ways to skin a cat. And I didn't, you know, 6 million steps, so it could be a cent a step, it could be a rand a step, it could be a dollar a step. But, you know, you also don't want to set yourself for a lot of failure. So I put in a figure in my mind, which I don't think is anywhere. I think it might be on the Give and Gain portal, but there is a target of 350,000 rand, which might be a little bit overzealous, but you know, it's something to aim toward and something to do. And I think with the help of guys like you, with the guys like Dart Digital, like CHOC, like The Cows, like Pride Factor, like Cliff Central, the more exposure we get, I just, you know, we stand ourselves a much better chance of achieving that goal. You know, and that money can come from anywhere in the world. It's you know, it's all credit cards and debit cards and things like that, and from $10 to as much money as you want to donate.
So to all those people listening out there, please, guys, dig deep, dig safe. This is obviously what we're trying to do here, and our South Africans going abroad and making an impact. I always like that kind of thing, and obviously why we've invited you on the show today is to make that kind of impact. If you're walking from, I mean,
it's from here to Kampala, basically, if you go as the crow flies, which is in Uganda, just other side of the equator. So it's from Cape Town up to
Or from Johannesburg to Cape Town and back, and then back to Cape Town. It's like basically walking from here to Cape Town and then doing a victory lap.
Correct. Correct. And a little bit more after that.
And a little bit more, And a little bit more. Yeah. Okay, so Zelda, with the kind of money that obviously we're trying to look to raise from this and the kind of awareness and things like that, just so that anyone's mind is at ease, what does that kind of money go to? Does it go to everything and anything? Does it get divided accordingly? I mean, I have no idea.
It actually gets divided into all the programs, obviously based on need.
Yes.
The various programs that I've mentioned. And we actually offer more. I hadn't gone through all the programs. We also do awareness training and education. We train traditional healers and communities on the early warning signs of childhood cancer. Mm-hmm. What we find is that there's lack of awareness of the symptoms. So a lot of the times the children reach the treatment centers in late stages of the cancer for the treatment to be successful. So that's one of the things that we do, where we train health professionals. We also train traditional healers, because we know some people go that route where the traditional healer, once they pick up the symptoms, they would refer them straight you know, to the treatment center for them to be treated. And then we also through several networks and bodies, we then advocate for children with cancer. Mm-hmm. And we also offer practical support, where we have basic necessities such as care bags, which we would give to the family when they arrive at the hospital. It has your toiletries and all the necessary basic things that they will need. And then we also offer food parcels. Mm-hmm. You know, as I've mentioned, that some of the families do come from previously disadvantaged areas. And then we also offer bereavement support, where we would pay for the funeral and that sort of thing. Right. So yeah, so it gets split up in quite a lot of the things that we do. And we do rely heavily on corporates as well as people like Pete, you know, individuals, for the financial support. So yeah, that's what it would be going towards.
So I mean, obviously these kind of campaigns are rather
essential for us.
Essential. I didn't want to say valuable. I want to say some other word. So essential would be the right word there. All right, guys, so joining me in studio, as I said, do tweet at us at Inspired Youth SA. We are busy talking to Peter Dunn, the man who is going to walk 6 million steps from Mexico to Canada, all in support of CHOC, the Foundation for Childhood Cancer Awareness.
This is CliffCentral.com.
And you are listening to Pride Factor on the Inspired Youth SA show here on Cliff Central, live every Monday from 3 until 4, and of course available on podcast. Do yourselves a favor and go and download the podcast app from Cliff Central. Also, while you're there, you should check out the new Cliff Central headphones, or wireless earphones rather, that are now on sale. They are pretty cool. And I see Gareth's video has been doing the rounds, which obviously we know him so well for. Joining me in studio today is Peter Dunn, the man that is walking 6 million steps, and Zelda Jacobs, who is our communications expert from Chalk. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so every time we do the Inspired Youth Show, we come up with a bunch of random questions, and it's all just for the laughability. So let's go through a couple of these. Peter, in the left-hand corner, we shall start with you. What is your most used app?
I think that'd be WhatsApp.
WhatsApp?
Yeah, I was told today I'm addicted.
Really?
Yeah.
Takes you forever to get back to my messages. So anyway, we'll take that off air. Anyway, moving on. Zelda, your most used app?
Also WhatsApp.
Really?
Yes.
Addict.
It really is kind of the way people are moving at the moment in the business world, isn't it? I mean, you phone by WhatsApp and you message and you do all of that by that.
And you look at people's statuses.
I don't do that. I just send business messages.
Okay. Something more on a personal side. Tell us something about yourself that perhaps not many people know.
From a personal... I have no idea, Dino. Personal.
Where are you from originally?
I like puppies.
No.
Originally from Nelspruit. Moved to Zimbabwe in 1991, 92. Grew up in Zim. And then finished my last year and a half of school here in South Africa. So I guess not many people know that.
There we go. Perfect. Zelda, something that not many people would know?
I do things based on my mood. And not a lot of people know that, actually.
Okay. So it's a Monday, and the fact that we've got you here, this is a good thing, right? Okay, cool. I like that. All right, Pete, what ignites your passion? What gets you jumping out of bed in the morning? What gets you excited? What are the things, aside from walking?
You know what? I think just that feeling, knowing that you're doing something good, knowing that you're following, the right path or the right, you're walking in the right direction, knowing that you're going in the right direction is just, it's a good feeling. And I guess that keeps you going. That'll get you up and out of bed the next morning again and again and again and again. Kids, since I was a small guy, I've always gotten so well with kids and with people a lot younger than me as well. That sort of leader, protector, father, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Being outside, the bush, wildlife, that is also something that's really, really close to my heart. Mm. Obviously, being in Joburg, you don't get to do that too much anymore, but going to go and spend 6 months literally in the bush. So, well, I don't know if the Americans call it the bush, but in the wild.
It's the highway.
Yep.
It's a freeway. Highway. Zelda, something that ignites your passion? What gets you jumping out of bed in the morning all excited and revved up and ready to go?
I would say my son, and also the children, in knowing that every day when I go to work, I'm making a difference, in the lives of the children with cancer and their families.
I think you are indeed, and I like that. This is we have a lot of fun on these shows, but
I want to turn that question around on you, Dino.
What gets me jumping out of bed in the morning?
Other than coffee.
I was going to say caffeine, obviously. Pride Factor does a lot of big events and things like that, and it's getting a message from someone going, hey, thanks so much for this, I really enjoyed it and I've learned XYZ and I'm going to go on and be the king of the world, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very exciting, isn't it? It really is very rewarding at the end of the day. Okay, Pete, are you better at chasing or at being chased?
I think chasing.
What would make you run faster?
Being chased. No one likes it. I make noises like a little girl when I get chased. So, but I mean, I think contextually, I think chasing is. I mean, if you've got nothing to chase, if you've got nothing to go after, it's vegetative. It's not. You're not doing much. Being chased. A lot of swear on radio, but being chased is not fun.
No.
I agree with you there. I also prefer chasing.
Do you?
Cops and robbers. You like being the cop.
Yes.
Yep.
That's actually a good analogy. That actually sums it up, what I'm trying to say exactly. Are you the cop or the robber? There we go.
You played that as a kid, if you were the robber, you disappeared out the bottom of the garden and kept on going for 4Ks.
Oh, brilliant.
And
I love
I'm
it.
Not much of a runner, so.
Okay, this is a question that actually strikes my interest, because I'd like to know what your thoughts are on this one, Pete. Where are you going to be in 5 years from today?
Like I said, if my visa doesn't work out well, I'll be Central America somewhere. No, I'm kidding. 5 years from today, Dino, maybe finishing varsity.
Really?
Really.
Is that something you're keen to do? Go back and get more educated?
To get educated. you know what?
Can't tell me the man doesn't have a sense of humor. You know what I mean? Let's continue.
Yeah, as I said, I might be the oldest student in South Africa, but architecture is something that I've always wanted to do. And if this year works out like it already is, then I'm certainly on that path and heading in that direction. I might be very close to getting a degree in architecture in 5 years from now.
Very nice. Zelda, yourself, what's the goal? Where are you going?
Yeah, I'd still be a truck, serving more and giving more, yeah.
Very nice, very nice.
Okay, my answer wasn't so good then. not so good.
Maybe you'll have another challenge, who knows?
Okay, so if you were to be a crayon in a crayon box, what color would you be, Zelda?
Aqua blue.
Aqua blue, not just blue, aqua blue. You know what I mean? Ladies just have more of an idea of the world. Boys are like, I don't know, something dark. But ladies, I like that. Pete, where are you at? What color are you at?
Well, I can't say aqua blue, so I'll say green. I'll say green.
There can be more than one aqua blue, by the way. Just different shades. All right, good question as well. Nice. Pete, you walk out of here. Walk out of this interview at Cliff Central. Mm. End up picking up a lottery ticket. On that ticket is $10 million. What are you doing?
Well, I think the first thing I'd do would be to completely pay for this trip, number one, so that I can continue with this campaign. And then it would be very, very silly of me not to give a chunk of that, to the foundation, to the organization I'm actually doing this for.
Yeah.
Those would be the first, or those would be the first two steps.
Love it. Love it. For you, Zelda?
A portion would definitely be going to Chuck, and I guess that'd be sort of set for life.
Are you guys noticing a pattern here? We've got some very, very good people in the world. And again, this is what we try and do in Inspired Youth. We try and highlight these individuals that are making a difference and that would actually literally sit there with 10 million rands or $10 million. And they would hand some of it over. I like that.
$10 million dollars, I'd disappear.
Did I say rand or dollar? No. Pete, what were you like in high school? And I'm waiting for the answer.
Oh, geez. I don't know if this is going to get onto Facebook or not. But you know what? I was always the class clown. I was always too busy making other people laugh instead of doing all of my work. That's why it took me 17 years to finish my trick. But I was just a village idiot with another one or two of my other mates. Yeah.
Very nice.
I guess super approachable, friendly. There was no... I wasn't a sour, bitter person. I didn't leave them with a whole lot of baggage. well, I didn't realize that until a lot later, but yeah, village idiot.
Village idiot.
Village idiot.
Zelda, how was high school for you?
High school was amazing for me. I was a teacher's pet, so all the teachers liked me. And
you were ammunition for people like me.
I was that girl.
So you were the one rolling your eyes at the people like Pete, going, oh, yes. My Lord, please keep it down. I'm trying to concentrate here and actually figure out what it is that I'm going to do with my life. Love it. Okay, two more questions. Nice. Pete, what is something that your mom or your dad or your parents have taught you that has stuck with you for life?
You know what? I don't know. It's so hard to pull out one individual thing. But I suppose just give everything that you do your best shot. They always let me make my own decisions. They never forced me into anything. They never said I should do X, Y, and Z. They just said, if you're going to do it, do it good. So that's kind of stuck with me.
I like that.
Yeah.
Zelda?
That's actually the same for me as well.
Nice.
My dad's always like, I don't want you blaming me, you know. It's up to you. You make the decision. So, yeah, that's definitely something that I've taken with me.
It just takes some people a lot longer to learn.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, it does.
Yeah, I have my hand up in the corner.
My hand's also up. Hello. Take a picture now.
Do it your best. Yeah, no, we'll celebrate his 35th birthday. Still tries. Carries on. Okay, last question. Pete, your definition of success. Is it something that can ever be reached? Because people always say that success changes and changes and changes. At the moment, what is your definition of success?
So sort of two aspects to that answer. The first one is Matthew McConaughey had this awesome video that he put on, or that no, he put on YouTube, that is all over YouTube, about one of his speeches at some other Oscars award, and he said that you know, it was always to try and chase the 10-year-old version of himself. So if he was 30, he'd be chasing the 40-year-old version of himself. When he got to 40, he'd be chasing the 50-year-old version. So I think success for me is always about just trying to improve on who you are as a person, what you're doing, and where you're going, because that goal, that little carrot, will always hang in front of you.
Yeah.
So if you're always trying to improve, you know, we do make mistakes, we do mess up, we do whatever it is. But if you can do that and really listen to that little voice that everybody's got, that your conscience, your whatever you want to call it. But if you can chase that and listen to that, I think you are on a very, very good path.
Love it. Zelda?
I think for me, making every day counts and taking life as it comes, you know, and making the most of each day. Because I think often we sort of plan life and it doesn't go according to plan. And we have this idea of how life should be to a point where we actually miss, you know, the todays. That happen. So for me, is certainly taking and enjoying every day. For me, that is my success, and knowing that I would have lived life through
being present.
Yes, yeah. Being present.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we all try and strive for. Guys, if you've got any questions out there or any feedback, any comments or anything like that, I see a couple of tweets coming through, which is great. Do at us at InspiredYouthSA, hashtag InspiredYouthSA, and obviously throw in CliffCentral.com there too. We've got the main man, Peter Diner, doing the 6 million step campaign from Mexico all the way to Canada, starting on the 10th of April. So I've obviously looked through your spreadsheet a couple of times of some of the stuff that you are taking with, that you are looking to obviously, again, support. Guys, we are looking for some support out there. This is one hell of a campaign that we're trying to set up, or that Peter's doing, and the rest of us are kind of sitting here at home typing out some emails and doing a little bit of social media. But talk us through some of the things. Obviously, you've done your research. Some of the difficulties you expect to face, some of the equipment that you're needing, some of the things that you're looking forward to. Give us a little bit more of the 6 million steps in your mind's eye. We will be interviewing you afterwards, and I'm sure everything will be very different. But what are the things that you're looking to encounter? What are some of the things that you're needing equipment-wise? Give us a bit of a breakdown there, Pete.
Cool. Shucks, Dino. Yeah, broad. Look, for a trip like this, you can, I've seen guys do it with 20 pounds, 22, 23 pounds in their back, you know, and that's wet weight, which is, you know, with food and with water, and their dry weight is 13 pounds. So there's not a hell of a lot of kit.
Yeah.
But I mean, the three, four main things that you'd need, obviously, is a tent, a sleeping bag, trekking poles, and a sleeping mat. And obviously a backpack. So what is that? That's five. Those are the five biggies. I mean, if you're not sleeping well, if you're not warm, and if you're not dry, you're not going to have a good time.
No.
Yeah. Look, I do expect a lot of weather on the a lot of weather. There'll always be weather.
We know what you mean.
I'm expecting a lot of varied conditions on the route. Look, also, I've never really trekked through snow. I got back from Russia a couple of weeks ago and experienced snow for the first time. And now, you know, when you get into Northern California, you know, the high Sierras and all of that, you start walking through a lot of places that are relatively high, really at altitude. And there's a lot of snow up there. So I'm expecting quite a bit of snow. I'm expecting massive temperature variances. But the nice thing is that you do resupply on the route and whatever it is. So, you know, when I walk through the first 600, 700 miles, which is basically desert, you know, I won't need thick jackets and things like that. You know, I won't need crampons, you know, the metal spikes that you chuck in your feet when you start traversing snowy mountain edges and things like that. I really want to capture as much of this journey as I possibly can, you know, have that seen by as many people as possible. So my electronic goodies bag would be a solar charger, a GoPro, take a phone with me. That'll also help with maps and GPS and things like that. And
you don't want to turn down the wrong road. You take a left at Albuquerque and end in the wrong place, do you?
No, you don't. But as I said, I met two very, very cool people, Mick and Joe, and they did the PCT in 2017, and they said that it's very, very well marked, and you know, there's a lot of section hikers, a lot of people that do it. So, you know, I think you'd have to be really I don't want to say silly, but unaware. If you went and got lost. But just to go back to the conditions, 2017 there's been a hell of a lot of snow as well, and starting now in April, we're already progressing into their summer. Or by the time I reach, the high Sierras, and then you start fording a lot of rivers and stuff like that. So there's a lot of snow melt. Mm. So crossing rivers and things like that could become a big issue. There's also been a lot of fire and stuff in California. So what they do is if there's too much water, if there's too much fire, they cut off certain parts of the trail.
Right.
So then you walk whatever it is, 10, 15 miles to the nearest road or to a main road, and you thumb a lift and you bypass a section. And so, as I said, there will be rain, there will be snow, there will be heat, there will be cold.
Yeah.
So I guess, again, to comment on something that I haven't really done, I've watched a billion YouTube videos, and I've seen a lot of interviews and people doing their things and their blogs and there, and it's super, super interesting. But I think a big thing that a lot of them always say is that just do your own hike, walk your own walk.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take it as it comes, and hopefully with all the equipment that I've got, specifically the electronics, I'll be able to show that to you guys here back at home, back in SA, and share it with the kids. So, the kids, if and when they do see any of the stuff that we're doing, that they can see the trip that we're going on. By unanimous vote on Facebook, I'm not going to shave, so I'll shave the day or the morning I leave. And then month five, I'll probably look like a Yeti, but that'll all be there. And so, there'll be a lot of things that we'll do along the way, to keep people interested, to see people where we are, where I am, what I'm doing, how far I've done, how long I've walked, what I've broken, what I didn't break, what I need, what I don't need.
Yeah. Doing a bit of a Forrest Gump kind of...
Kind of, except persona. He was going for 3 years, so I'm not planning.
And it was just a movie. Not trying to burst anyone's bubble there or anything. Yeah, okay. So, Zelda, what would you be packing if this was your initiative?
Oh, my word.
if someone said to you, listen, we're going to do X, Y, Z and all that, but we need you to walk from Mexico to Canada.
My goodness. I don't even think my mind.
What are some of the things that come into your mind?
I don't even think my mind can comprehend that. I mean, I struggle with just Table Mountain, so... But yeah, I guess it's what Pete has sort of covered. I am very much a sleeper, so I'd definitely have my sleeping bag with me, and I'd make sure it's pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And just comfortable clothing, I guess. And
food is
food,
one thing I didn't
definitely
mention, which is
food, yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, how are you going to cover all of that? Sorry. How are you going to cover that? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people want to know, where are you thinking of staying? What are you thinking of eating? How are you going to replace the things that you're doing? I mean, you've got here that you reckon that you're going to go through 5 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, so Zelda's just promised me now that she's going to come and join me for 4 days. So we'll go through the sleeping bag and the food stuff, Zelda.
There we go.
What is I going to say, Dean? Yeah, food, there's a lot of places that you resupply along the route, but what a lot of people have done and do, certain places are too expensive or it's a little bit arid, the points are far and few in between.
Mm-hmm.
So you pack food beforehand, i.e. the week that I'm going to spend in Michigan before I start, mm-hmm. go down to San Diego and then to Campo. You pack yourself 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days worth of food into a box.
Yeah.
And I've worked out about 12 or 13 of those boxes just in case. And they'll be with us, friends of mine in Michigan. So if I can see or I speak to people on the trail or the guy say, listen, there's no graze for the next, whatever it is, 80 miles or 100 miles or whatever it is, I'll just SMS back to Michigan and get them to send one of those boxes that I've packed for food.
Yeah.
Gets down to me, then I reload and then I'm good to go.
Right.
Water in California, they say, is quite a big thing. So you take your own little water filter, and when you get to streams or little crossings or whatever it may be, taps, you just filter the water off and sort of drink like that.
Yeah.
But California being sort of semi-arid, it's they say it's going to be quite tricky. But again, you could watch videos and get scared. Which I am a little bit nervous about. But you know what? We're South Africans. We can make a plan. If people take too much water, we just take some of theirs. I'm joking. You can tell I've been in Joburg too long.
He's got a sense of humor. At least we like that, man. Okay, so I mean, Pete, we're going to be catching up with you as we go along, and obviously, trying to help you out with getting some equipment so that we can document this momentous occasion. And obviously, we're going to be touching base with you as you go along the journey, and certainly get you back in here for an interview. And Zelda, perhaps we can get you and or some of the Chok youngsters or their parents that Pete's life is, or Pete's journey, the lives that they're going to be, is going to be affecting as we go through all of this. I mean, is that something that Chok's interested in?
Certainly, that's something we can do. Yeah, we definitely are interested in that.
Okay, so where can we find out more about the whole 6 Million Steps campaign, Pete? Walk us through it. And who have you got involved so far?
Well, you know the answer to that question. No, I'm joking. So it's obviously Chok. I've got Dart Digital. I've got Pride Factor, Inspired Youth, and a few other a few other individuals who are steering me and sort of guiding me into or guiding me along the way, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. Mm-hmm. But there is a website. Dart Digital have done an incredible job with the website.
Yeah, they have indeed.
6millionsteps.co.za, 6 with the number 6, the digit 6. And all the information about the entire campaign is on there. And then there's also a little tab there that says, how can I get involved? And if you go in there, it speaks about Chok, it speaks about the organization, the cause. And then there's two other portals there. There's a give and gain portal, which is how I'll be receiving money on behalf of Chok. So anybody that is listening, or people that do hear about this and do feel that well moved to donate a little bit of money to the cause, they do it through that portal. Obviously, I don't see that money. I don't touch that money. It goes straight through to Chok, and then they use their 40 years of experience to use that money to their best ability, or to its best ability. And then there's another little portal there it's a GoFundMe portal, which is basically me asking for anybody else or anybody out there who'd like to help and get involved and help get me to the trail. A lot of this is coming out of personal budgets and a lot of help from sponsors and other people. It's just if guys can spare $1,000 or $10,000 or $5,000, that'll go toward food, that'll go toward medical, that'll go toward health insurance, it'll go toward kit that I might need along the way. You asked us now, I won't be starting with a full bag of kit. I'll be starting with the bare necessities, carry the bag as light as possible. But then as we start getting higher into the trip, then you start needing a rain jacket, and you start needing a puffy, and you start needing a beanie, and then you need crampons, and then the kit starts increasing, and that all comes at a cost. Those are the two portals that I've got there. And obviously the main one is give and gain. But obviously if I don't get the help that I need, and the support that I need in terms of money, or items, but I mean money is the right way, because I know what I need. If I don't get that stuff, then obviously I don't go on the walk, and then there isn't the awareness that we...
Yeah, but you're doing this anyway. We all know this. Like, I've known you for a while, and the reason I've agreed to put you on the show is because I know that you're doing this regardless. So that's... And well, I think we've all kind of got the...
Special help from special people.
Oh, there we go. Zelda, in ending, from Chok Foundation's point of view, anything else that you guys have got going on, or any words of wisdom or best wishes, or...
Oh yes, no, certainly best wishes to
see you later. Don't forget to write.
And we wish him all the best, and we look forward to having him back. And we know he will definitely do this.
He will, won't he?
He definitely
Thank you very
will.
Much.
Yeah.
There we go. Pete, some words of wisdom, I like always ending off with this. What would you say to your younger self?
Listen to that little voice inside. Listen, don't listen to anybody else. Listen to that little voice, even That's if it's the true. Smallest little thing that you think you can't hear and think that you might not listen to. And that little voice in there is never wrong. And if you can listen to that guy, the more you listen to him, the louder he gets. The louder he gets, the better off you are. So just listen to that little voice.
I have goosebumps on that one. I won't lie. And I don't get that too often. Wow. Zelda, words to your younger self?
I definitely say the same as PT. Nice. You can't beat that.
Very, very, very nice. Okay, so guys, do please support us as best as we can. We're going through this. Obviously, check out Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and obviously the website. The Give and Gain is there. Chok's details are there. The whole story about Pete's incredible journey, the opportunities to get involved. They're obviously looking for anything and anyone, from the likes of, cameras to blog along the way, to shoes, to money, to help with the assistance of tickets, flights, accommodation, visas. You can imagine spending 5 months in the US isn't a very cheap thing, let alone walking 6 million steps. So if anyone wants to get involved, please do get involved. Really do urge it. It's something that we're going to be doing every week on the show throughout the 4 or 5 month journey. Is we're going to be doing a little catch up with Pete, be it a 1 minute voice note as to how he stubbed his toe and his world has come to a grinding halt, or the fact that he's ticked off a milestone and his beard is now at knee length, whatever it might be. We're going to be catching up with Pete and, of course, the wonderful guys from the Chalk Foundation. So to anyone out there who is supporting this worthy cause, please do get hold of us and get involved. Any ending words from you, Zelda, at all?
So we are a non-profit, so we do call on South Africa, the general public, to refer to our website. And whether they read more on the early warning signs or whether they get involved with Chalk, there are many ways you can volunteer, you can donate. There are many ways. So we basically call on them to do that.
Fantastic. Pete, words in ending?
Visit our website, 6millionsteps.co.za, and hop onto Facebook, hop onto all the social media links, and it's all on the website, and just share the hell out of it.
There we go.
The more people that see it, the more people that can help.
Follow this journey, ladies and gentlemen. 6 million steps, hashtag 6 million steps, obviously with the numerical 6. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I think this is something that we're all very excited about and certainly support you all the way, my friend.
Thank you, my man. Thank you very much.
So otherwise, that has been another installment of Inspired Youth SA here on cliffcentral.com. We are live from 3 to 4 every Monday. Of course, do download the podcast and get updated with some inspirational people from all around the country doing phenomenal things. In ending, some news coming up from our side is that our West Rand Careers Expo will be starting tomorrow up in Krugersdorp from Tuesday until Friday from 9 until 1. We have 7,000 youngsters coming through at West Rand Careers Expo. Next week, the 23rd and the 24th, we're going to be down in Cavendish Mall in sunny Cape Town. Sunny, dry Cape Town. I think those jokes are actually just getting old now. We're going to be in Cape Town. We're going to be at Cavendish. It's a high school career expo. We should have about 3,000 or 4,000 people coming through the doors there. It's on a Friday and a Saturday, so come and check us out. We are also announcing the launch of our online academy, which is going to be on the 9th of April. And to any of you out there that want us to come and chat at your school, at your event, at your gathering, or anything like that, to your organization, come and inspire your youngsters to live a fulfilling life and walk in the steps of some of our role models, much like Peter Dunn from 6 Million Steps, please do get hold of us, Inspired Youth SA, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Otherwise, drop us a mail, info@pridefactor.co.za. This has been another installment of Inspired Youth SA. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and see you next time.
This is cliffcentral.com.